know what it takes to be reconciled to thee at the present time. And we do know that in due course the entire world of mankind will be reconciled unto thee, and the universe will be one united universe singing praise to thy holy name. We thank thee for these sessions. Thou hast been with us, and we have felt thy presence. We appreciate the spirit that dominates the brethren because it comes directly from thee. The spirit of humility and love, cheerfulness and brotherly kindness. We thank thee for the brethren, and we pray, dear Father, that thou wilt continue to bless them. We pray especially for those who have recently consecrated themselves to thee. We know that they realize what they have done, how important it is that they should live up to their consecration vows. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that thou wilt give them grace sufficient to help them in every time of need, so that they will find, as our Master said, that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Because we have the assistance, not only of the brethren, but we have the assistance of our dear Lord and Master who cares for us. Now, dear Father, defend, we pray, all thy dear children, especially those who are serving thee in spirit and in truth. Be thou with them. Give them grace that they may continue faithful unto the end, and in due time we may all appear before thy glorious face and receive the well done, thou good and faithful servant. We humbly pray also, dear Father, for the other services of the day and those who will function therein. Bless them all. We humbly pray in Jesus' dear name. Amen.
The rest of this on humility. Very few of us does our brother Zano need an introduction. You always have been blessed by his ministry, and I'm sure that the Lord has a message for us through him this morning which will build us up. His title is Humility, and we're glad to present Brother Zano.
Pleased to meet with you this morning. I'm reading from the book of Ephesians, first chapter. I'm sure that this epistle will mean much to us. I'm reading it slowly so that it will impress upon our minds. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, in the heavenlies, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he, God, hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, carefulness, having made known unto us the mystery, the secrets of his will, according to his good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. In reading this epistle by St. Paul, reading it slowly, what a blessing it brings to our hearts, and how humble it should make the reader. When we think of the things that are contained in the blessings in this epistle, we feel very humble. I'm sure you do. Oh, how humble this should make us. To think of the greatest being in the universe, our Father in heaven, would make us heirs of his Son, would make us heirs of himself and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, and that he would reveal unto us the secrets which was not made known in past ages, the things that the Lord revealed unto us, not unto angels or principalities or powers. He passed them all by. He passed by the great men and the wise men and the chief captains of this earth. Passed by all the so-called religious leaders. And St. Paul said, he made it known unto us. He made it known unto Jesus when the heavens were opened unto him. And Jesus says, no, not unto the angels, nor the Son. From that time, God began to reveal the mystery of his will to Jesus and his bride, the body members. Think with me this morning that the great God of the universe passed by all the holy angels and reveal unto you and to me the mystery that he had in his will, not made known to any of the prophets, not made known in the past ages. I feel confident, and I believe you do, that the holy angels would be glad to come down here upon this earth to take your place, to take my place. But God never offered the prize of the high calling of God which is in Christ Jesus to any of the children of men. Why, no, he's passed by all the principalities and powers. Does this make you extremely humble? To think that he passed them all by. I can imagine that some of the holy angels would be glad to come to New York here to this convention and take your place and continue in the steps of Jesus until their sacrifice was consummated. Be thou faithful unto death. Unto death, yes, not until death, oh no. There's many men that have been faithful until death. Their ideas and theories. But that isn't it. Be thou faithful unto death, unto the sacrificial death. And I will give unto thee the crown of life. Oh, how thankful we should be. Humility is one of the most important doctrines of the Bible. Oh, we heard such beautiful thoughts yesterday on love. What a discourse, how grand. My dearly beloved, but it takes humility. Every one of you were humble. When you made a consecration unto the Lord, those dear ones who symbolized their consecration this morning, they were humble. It takes humility to make a consecration unto the Lord. It takes humility to count the cost and feel that the Lord has drawn us unto himself through Jesus Christ our Lord. Yes, friends, it was humility from the beginning, but when one grows in grace and in knowledge with the Lord, sometimes some brethren forget humility. In later years, it seems as though they're not humble anymore. They're not willing to take the lowest seat, as we shall see. They do not think of these scriptures. What hast thou that thou hast not received? Think it over for a moment. Who made thee to differ from another? My, how wonderful. Let us read a few verses from the words of Jesus. 13th chapter of the Gospel of John. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of the world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And this he proved right there and then. And so it is with all the followers. Their love will be proved unto the very end. What love? The love we heard about yesterday, brotherly love. And supper being ended, the devil, having now put into the heart of Jesus Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things unto his hands, and he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, laid aside his garments. My, wasn't this wonderful? Reached over and took a towel, and he took a basin of water, and began to wash the disciples' feet. The greatest and most wonderful act of humility taught in the Bible. The Son of God, our Savior, our Redeemer, Look at the scene. There are those disciples. And he washed their feet. Oh, what humility. He divested himself, humbled himself. And what does Peter say to you and to me? Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Don't wait till God humbles you. Humble yourself. That's what these dear ones are proving to you and to me, who symbolize their consecration, that they're humbling themselves. And let me advise you to stay in that condition until the very end, that in due time he may exalt you. He may not exalt you here upon the earth, and he may also exalt you somewhat in the church. But don't run ahead of the Lord. Stay right there. Be content. Think of the exaltation we'll see in a moment. And after that, he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and wiped them with the towel wherewith he was girded. He girded himself. Put on the girdle. What does a girdle mean to you and to me? It means servitude, service. How beautiful your tabernacle taught you that. And then each one of the underpriests wore a bonnet. Keep your bonnet on. Don't take it off. You get heady and high-minded and feel that you know more than the Lord and the truth message. It's bad. You may take your bonnet off. If you take your bonnet off, you can't get it back on again. Your head gets too large. All the underpriests wore bonnets. All during their consecration days. From the time they made a consecration until the very end, keep your bonnet on. What does a bonnet represent? The principle of headship. Who is our head? Some man? No, no. Some organization? No, no. Christ is the head to the church, which is his body. How essential it is to keep our bonnet on. Oh, you can almost detect when someone takes their bonnet off. They become too heady and high-minded, know-it-all. How careful we should be. We're in the last days. We haven't far to go. The overthrow of Satan's empire is right before us, gradually being overthrown. When your prayer shall be answered, thy kingdom come, thy will be done where? Where? Right here in New York, even as it is done in heaven. It's just before us, brethren. Humility. Jesus answered and said unto them, what I do thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him and said, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. I imagine he felt quite humbled then, don't you? Yes, Peter was willing. And Jesus said unto him, he that is washed needeth not saved, wash his face, feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. So after he washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Ye shall call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. Are we willing to serve one another even in laying down our life in self-sacrifice? Is there anything grander than real, true, brotherly love? Verily I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. God is the head to the Christ, Christ the head to the church, even as the husband is the head to the wife. 5th chapter of Ephesians. Are we all carrying out that principle of headship? If ye knew these things, happy are ye if we do them. I speak not of all, you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his head against me. Now I tell you before it came, that when it come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I sent receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit, and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. That must have been a wonderful scene, friends. What was the lesson for? To teach true humility. Finally, Jesus made us up. Josephus, the Jewish historian, tells us and others that on such occasions, when one was to be honored as a guest, a sop was made of fruit, grapes, and the sop was handed to the one that was to be honored. Here Jesus proved that he honored and he loved Judas Iscariot to the very end. He reached the sop to Judas, I love you. What does that prove? The fourth quarter mark we heard about yesterday. Love for your enemies. Can you do it? Can we do it? Love for our enemies. Those that will persecute you and say all manner of evil against you. Oh, how often that comes because of misunderstanding. Do not understand the Bible. Do not understand the truth. And therefore, we're persecuted and hated. But Jesus said, I say unto you, you love your enemies. In order to make our calling and election sure, how essential it is to even love our enemies. 1 Peter 5:5-6. And when the chief shepherd shall be made manifest, he shall receive the crown of glory, that crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, be subject unto the elders. Yea, all of you, gird yourself, be ye clothed with humility. An outer garment showing that we're really and truly humble, to be clothed with humility. You know how beautiful it is when we see a man or a woman, some that we perhaps are working with, our neighbors, that are manifesting true humility. Isn't it beautiful? It adorns the character, doesn't it? The Lord desires to see that in us. Be clothed with humility. Yes, and to serve one another. For God resisteth the proud always, never fails. We become proud and haughty and high-minded. God resists the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care, all your anxieties upon him, because he careth for you. Why, yes, you're as dear to the Lord as an apple of an eye. That's right. Just think, the apple of an eye. If you get a little speck in your eye, you're ready to run to the doctor. You're just as dear to our Heavenly Father as an apple of an eye. Because he careth for you. You've cast all your cares upon the Lord. But oh, how often we try to take them back and carry them ourselves. Let us not do it. No, friends, because it'll be a humiliating experience and you'll have to do it all over again and cast all your cares upon the Lord. We cast all our cares upon the Lord, our Master, and let us leave them there. For he careth for you. He's our burden bearer. And I'm sure if the Lord Jesus in the next moment would pass by this auditorium carrying his cross, I could see you all get up and run out there to help him carry it. But you have that very privilege now, friend, to bear one another's burdens. We all have a cross to bear. St. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Let us bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. What an opportunity we have. Think of it. Think of it over. Think. Your adversary goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But I like the expression given by St. Paul in 2 Corinthians 11:14, that Satan himself has transformed himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it be no strange thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, light bearers. The devil, Satan, has thousands and thousands of ministers here upon the earth. They too transform themselves as ministers of righteousness, but friends, it's darkness. It isn't light. Here we are, right down to the end of the age. Let us beware. For those that call themselves light bearers and have new light. No, friends, there's no such a thing as new light. The light shines upon our pathway, and our pathway becomes brighter and brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. Let us keep humble under the mighty hand of God. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The mind of Christ. I want to take you back into Bible times for a moment. an example there that I always loved when I first heard the truth. And that's the story about David and Goliath. This great, powerful man, Jewish historians tell us he had 6 digits on each hand and on each foot. I don't know, I never saw him. But nevertheless, he was a great, powerful man, and he came to destroy Israel. And here was little David, who was anointed to be the king, just an ordinary man, come to King Saul. He couldn't put on King Saul's harness, it was too large for him. So he walked down to the brook and got 5 pebbles out of the brook, perhaps the size of a walnut or a small lemon, and put it in his little sack. And here he walks towards this great giant. Ah, the great giant who came with that great shield and that great spear. He had some other man carry the shield for him, it was so great. And on a great iron helmet. You see little David with that little sling against that great giant. I come to thee in the name of the Lord. Ah, how beautiful, how grand. What humility exemplified. Jesus exemplified that humility on every occasion. Yes. He was always humble. See little David against that great giant. And friends, what happened? Just a little pebble from the brook. Oh, how beautiful that pebble represents our faith. Our faith. Oh, for a faith that will not shrink, though pressed by every foe. That will not tremble on the brink of any earthly woe, Lord. Lord, lead me to a faith like this. Ah, yes. You see that little pebble put in that sling? And we can visualize that great giant. Ho, ho, ho. How haughty, how high-minded he was. And that helmet must have slipped back or dropped to the ground because, little David, that was the psychological moment. He took that little sling and struck him right there, where the helmet ought to be. There was no helmet there. What'll happen to us if we become haughty and high-minded? We perhaps lose the helmet of salvation, recorded in the 6th chapter of Ephesians. Put on the whole armor of God. The helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, the girdle of truth, and the sandals of peace and prayer, prayer, prayer. In order to do this, friends, it means to be extremely humble. And I believe as I stand before you, that it'll be the humble class from now on till the overthrow of Satan's empire. The last member is gathered together on the other side of the veil. It'll be the real humble class that our Heavenly Father will use. The sifting, the sorting, the shaking, the separating is taking place. You see it? Must be mighty blind if we can't see it. All comes under brotherly love. How do you know, as our dear brother told us yesterday, and how do I know that we pass from death unto life? It is because, I repeat, as St. Paul said, it is because of brotherly love. Love your brethren, and that takes humility. After one takes their bonnet off that do not have humility enough to come and say, I made a mistake. If there's anyone here, let's do it. Let us do it and say, I made a mistake. Come to the Lord and ask the Lord and be reinstated. Oh, what a terrible thing it'll be then to lose the crown of life. Put your bonnet on. I remember I was out west, and the friends met me at the depot in the Pilgrim work. Took me home. A little boy about 6, 7 years old was with us. And finally, he tried to find out his mother who I was. I'd been there before. Then when he saw me, right there in the depot, with a loud voice, he said, "I know, Mother, I know who this man is. He's the man that told us to keep our bonnet on." Little 6-year-old boy had heard it. "Keep your bonnet on. Let us do it, brethren. Let us keep on our bonnet. Never take it off." One more lesson that Jesus gave us in the 14th chapter of Luke. And it's good. I love it. Luke 14, 8 and 10. This applies to each one of us who have given our hearts to God in full submission. Each Christian. That's right. "And Jesus spake a parable unto them, and those that were bidden." They were all bidden to a wedding. Read again the 22nd chapter of Matthew on the wedding feast. It's beautiful. It'll help keep us humble. "When he marked how they chose out the chief seats, saying unto them, When thou art bidden of any man to a marriage," we're all bidden to this marriage. Yes, we're in the banqueting hall now, and the lights are all turned on. We're feasting at the table, the things that the Lord put on the table, not some man or some leader. Don't believe it, friends. The Lord said he would gird himself and serve them, and I want him to serve me until the very end, don't you? Satisfies our longings as nothing else can do. "When thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, to a feast, sit not down in the chief seat." Don't try to take the chief seat. Don't make a beeline for the platform. "Put me on the platform or I'll not go to the convention." Oh, friends, I've seen that so much in my travels. "Lest happily he," the Lord, "bidden of him, that he that bade thee and him shall say unto thee, Give this man place." I'll have to teach you humility, won't it? "Give this man place, and then thou shalt begin with shame to take the lowest place. But thou art bidden of any man to this wedding, take not the highest room, but the lowest room. For everyone that exalted himself shall be humbled, and he that humbled himself shall be exalted." These are the words of Jesus. How sweet, how beautiful they are. You know, friends, there's many, many lessons that can be drawn. The Bible is so filled, and so many that the Lord Jesus gave us. We cannot give them all. John 8, 36, "If the Son make you free," don't you feel free with the brethren taking a back seat? You always feel so free. I do. Yes, it brings humility. It brings humility, our pastor said, instead of pride or boastfulness. It brings patience instead of anger. I like to make a little statement here. It's a little crude, friends, and still I'll make it in my own way. Do you reasonably suppose that anyone could stay in the sanctuary of God, in the holy place of the tabernacle, with a chip on their shoulder? Don't you believe it? They'll not be there long. No one could stay in the sanctuary with a chip on their shoulder. Never. Isn't it strange that some forget that? Yes. Yes. This humility brings joy and peace instead of discontent and bitterness of spirit. Our pastor said this. There's another little incident I'd like to tell about, which teaches humility and the opposite, which is pride. God hates pride. He that is proud of heart is abomination to God. Think of the pride in the earth. What are they proud of? Their attainments. Think of all the nations of the earth. Pride, pride, pride. Everywhere you look comes in between the Lord's people. Yes. If you're not careful, you'll be proud too. Look at Joneses now. See, they have a new car. Look at Joneses. They have a new hat. And so on and so on. Many of the little things of life become proud, and we don't know it, perhaps. That's right. Proud. Perhaps you've read this story about old Farmer Jones. He had a son, Johnny. And Farmer Jones only had the barest necessities. But he said to Mary, his wife, "Let us save, and we'll send Johnny over to the college over the hill." And she said, "We can't do it, Daddy." "But we'll try it," he said. So they saved up some money, and when the time came, they took little Johnny over the mountain. And how did he do it? With a rickety old wagon and a couple old horses. That's the only way he had to go, and little Johnny went over the mountain to the college. And you know, they were so happy about it, the parents. And letters came from little Johnny all the time. And then finally, only one letter a week. And finally, a letter a month. And soon, 6-7 months were over, and they were to go back and give a little more money to the college. But they didn't get any mail from Johnny. So Father Jones said, "I can't endure it." He couldn't sleep. So he hitched up the old rickety old horses and wagon. Early in the morning he started over to the college. And when he came over there they were, all the students out, throwing up their hats and stomping their feet, having a good time. And when they saw Farmer Jones and his old rickety wagon coming, then, friends, they belittled it, hadooed it, and made fun of it. Made light of it. Farmer Jones saw Johnny. He lighted the wagon and he chased after Johnny, but he couldn't find him. He disappeared. And of course he felt so bad. No, Johnny couldn't own his father. Not that rickety old wagon. No, no. And you know, friends, he didn't find him. He searched till late at night, and he couldn't find Johnny. And you know, he said, "Well, I'll have to go back home." He didn't have money to go to a hotel. And so, back over the mountain, back home, and there was Mary waiting with a smile on her face. But Farmer Jones was sad, oh, very sad. Wouldn't you be? And you know, the story tells us, I read this in a magazine, Farmer Jones died that night of a broken heart. What did it? Pride. What a monster pride is. Johnny was too proud to acknowledge his daddy. Oh, friends, the underlying principle of the divine government will be humility. There'll be no pride. Pride must be blotted out from this earth. When that kingdom is established in glory and in great power, there'll be no more pride. Satan will be bound and finally destroyed from the earth and from the universe. There'll be no more pride. Let us get rid of it now. We haven't anything to be proud of. What hast thou that thou hast not received? Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that in due time he may exalt you. I thank you for your good attention.
After Brother Zano dismisses us with prayer, we'll have half an hour's intermission, followed by a discourse by Brother Murray.
Our loving, kind Father, we draw nigh unto Thee with grateful hearts. We thank Thee for Thy greatness, for Thy glory which Thou hast set above all heavens. When we consider the works of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? What have we been that thou wouldst be mindful unto us and reveal unto us the mystery of thy will? Make us truly humble before thee, dear Father. Help us to walk circumspectedly before thee. We continue, Father, in thy love. We thank thee for thy loving kindness and thy tender mercies which thou hast bestowed upon us. We thank thee for brotherly love. We realize, Father, that these lessons must be learned and learned well before we can make our calling and election sure. Pray thy divine, thy rich blessing upon this congregation here this morning, each heart bowed before thee. Bless us, dear Father. Bless the further exercises of the day and the convention. And we have in mind all the conventions, not only the convention here, Father, but the convention to the Northwest, in Seattle, Minnesota. Yes, Father, down in Southern California, Saginaw, so many conventions over Labor Day. Bless them all. Bless the work that's still to be accomplished before that great and dreadful day. Bless those that are doing the work which thou hast outlined and designed, the frank and earnest work, yes, the TV work. May thy rich blessing be upon all that'll serve thee and serve the truth and serve thee in true humility. Now bless us, Father, as we further wait before thee. We ask in Jesus' loving name. Amen.